Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We miss college football.
Jenty, his first touch. And typical Ashton Jenty. Look at him go! You can't bring him down! Is he? Yes, he will!
We can't wait for the 2025 season.
Paul Howard with 3rd and 11. He'll throw it. He's going for it. Jeremiah Smith, 1-on-1. Game, set, match. Whenever you needed it, you got it. Will Howard to Jeremiah Smith. Biggest play of the game.
And we're counting down the days to kickoff.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
I said no.
Are we there yet?
What's wrong with your ears?
Here is your college football fix, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
51 days until Georgia Tech kicks off their upcoming football season. They'll be doing so up against the Colorado Buffaloes. It was a successful season last year for Haynes King and company, and we're looking forward to see what they have in store for this 2025 season. And now joining us is a warrior. He is one of the toughest players in all of college football entering this season, and that, of course, is the quarterback of the Yellow Jackets in Haynes King. Haynes, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. How you been?
Doing pretty good. You know, just summer workouts and getting in shape and, you know, football.
Yeah, right? Well, it's almost here, 51 days until the games actually start to count. Last year, and really the last 2 years, especially with Brent Key being there full-time as the head coach, this program has got back to respectability. They got back to moving in the right direction. I'm just wondering, after getting some taste of success and having some improvement, what's the mindset? Where's the confidence level of this group as you guys get set for another season of Georgia Tech football?
I'd say confidence level is extremely high right now with the whole team. You know, we're running fast, lifting heavy, and, you know, we're doing a couple team bonding, getting to know each other, because the camaraderie and the closer that we are together, the more we know each other and the more we can push each other to take that next step. And with that being said, like, that's our biggest goal this year is, what do we have to do to take that next step?
What do you think is the next step for this program? What do you think you guys could accomplish? The ACC, you know, Clemson, Reno, how good they could be. You guys have had back-to-back 7-win seasons. The next step is what for this program?
I feel like the next step is, you know, one, ACC champion, and two, being in the playoffs and winning the national championship.
Haynes King here with us. And, you know, this year there's a lot of praise, right? You've seen both sides of it, where you've been praised, where people have also written you off. You know, no one's sleeping on Georgia Tech this year. You're getting a lot of praise individually. Your team, it feels like they're on the rise with what they've done the last 2 years. Has there been any complacency? Have you felt that this summer? Or do you feel as if this group is as hungry as ever?
I feel like this group is as hungry as ever. You know, we don't like the word complacency, and we don't, you know, allow that to happen. We don't coach it here. You know, competition eliminates that. If everybody's in competition and competing each and every day, coming in there trying to get better, that's going to eliminate the complacency in our program.
You know, when I write down a few things to describe you, I say toughness, warrior, and you just know how to win. I know you come from a football family, but where does that stuff really come from in terms of, there's just a great desire when I see you play on the field and you'll be willing to do anything, literally run through a brick wall kind of feel to go get a victory?
You know, I got to thank God, thank my family and how they raised me, first of all. But, you know, deep down is, you know, the will to win, the hate to lose. You know, I don't like losing, and, you know, I want to make my parents happy and you know, make them proud of what I've done, and don't want to let any of them down. And, you know, that also comes with, you know, where I'm from as well, back home in Longview. You just want to make everybody proud and show them that you can do that and who you are and what all you've worked with, or what all you've worked for since you've been growing up.
And a lot of people, when they talk to you, they'll talk about the Georgia game and that thriller from last year. But I want to bring up the Miami game first. You basically were playing with one shoulder, and you went toe-to-toe, and you out-dueled Cam Ward and, right, that Miami program, and they were one of the better teams in the country. When you look back at that performance last year, with how much that was working against you in that game, is the result almost unbelievable that you were able to play at the level that you were in that game?
I don't think so, because, you know, with my mindset, the way I prepare, and it's not even just me, it's the whole team. Just the way we prepare together, and, you know, that wasn't a one-man effort. It wasn't really a duel. It was a team effort to beat Miami, and you have to do that. But like I said earlier, with us and our goals taking that next step with being an ACC champion and a national champion, like, we can go in there games like that, and that should be our standard. That should be our floor. You know, that's the bottom of how we should play going into every game. And if we take care of business and handle one play at a time and one day at a time, one rep at a time, be where our feet are, everything will take care of itself.
I know you guys didn't end up winning the game up against Georgia, but you received so much praise after that. And I remember reading someone saying it's almost unfortunate that someone had to lose that game, but that's the nature of this sport. You took one of the better teams in the country into 8 overtimes, and you were unbelievable in that game. What do you think that game, even though it wasn't a victory, kind of did for your program now moving into this season?
I'd say it kind of put us on the map, and, you know, it's not just flukes where, you know, we play good sometimes and all that stuff, but like we can play with literally anybody, and not just play with them, compete and beat them when we take over business and, you know, execute the way that we know how. But that was a big jump, and like everybody said, there's winners and losers, and, you know, that it just wasn't our night. But it ain't going to make and break you. The sun's going to rise in the morning, but it's just how you respond to it. You know, that's why we wear bracelets. You can see it here, E plus R equals O. You know, event plus response equals outcome, and how you respond, you got to own it, and moving forward, that's what it has to be.
Are those bracelets new? Is that a this year thing, or is that from previous years too?
That was from the previous year, but I keep it on me, one on each hand. Doesn't matter where I look down, I'm going to see it. You know, you got to own your response. That's the other half of it.
You talked about how that game up against Georgia put you guys on the map. Would you say that this is the most confident, you know, with your time being there at Georgia Tech, that not only you have been, but also your teammates have been going into a season?
I think the confidence has always been there, but like, and then like, we were, I guess you'd say, last 2 years, you know, beating Miami, beating Florida State beginning of the year. Those were really good teams. So, like, we were always, I guess you'd say, like, oh, they beat them. They're on the map. But, you know, when we did that to Georgia, I think it, like, really, really put us on the map. Like, okay, they're not here to just play around. Like, they're here to compete and stay. And if you want a seat at the table, you're going to have to take it. And, you know, we're all for that, and we're going to have to take it this year and back up and improve on what we've done these past couple of years.
Where do you feel from a health standpoint? I know there's been, unfortunately, some injuries suffered through your career, but head into this season, how's the body feeling?
I mean, that's football. You're going to get injuries. You're going to get bumps and bruises. But, you know, if you take care of your body and do things the right way and handle yourself and do all that, you'll find ways to keep improving, just keep going. But I feel really, really healthy, shoulders back, throwing the ball good. Might have actually got even stronger. But other than that, like, you know, this is the time where, you know, you really take care of your body, what you eat, the way you treat it, recovery, whether it's, you know, doing yoga or in the training room, fixing little small tweaks or whatever, because you want to feel good going into camp and even coming out of camp. This is what you're going to have to do and maintain. And also throughout the season, you've got to try to find a routine to consistently do that throughout the season as well.
I'm sure you're disciplined with the diet, but when you have a cheat meal, what's the cheat meal of choice if you just had to pick out and the calories don't count for a day?
I wouldn't say I'm too disciplined with the diet.
You made it sound that way.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I made it sound that way, but
you're one of us. That's what I just learned here.
Oh yeah, everybody. I mean, I love food. I guess you'd say I kind of somewhat eat like a big guy. I grew up with my dad; he was an offensive lineman. But you know, if I had a cheat meal or if I wanted to eat bad, I like chicken, fried chicken, pizza, just stuff like that,
You're a chicken wing guy?
Yeah.
All right.
They got some good chicken wings in Atlanta, too. So.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Ranch or blue cheese? What do you go with?
Ranch.
Oh, my God, Haynes.
Ranch. I don't like blue cheese.
I loved you up until this moment, but that's a character flaw with me. Like, you got to go blue cheese over ranch. But that's a Southern thing. Jonathan Taylor pointed that out to me. If you talk to Southern guys, they like ranch. You talk to us East Coast guys, we're blue cheese guys.
That's fair.
You were just raised the wrong way. That's the way that I look at it. Why did you stay at Georgia Tech? I have to ask that. This is just the nature of the sport, that you have a season that you had, other schools come calling. Why did you ultimately elect to say, okay, I'm going to stay put here?
You know, I just like the people in the building and what we're trying to build here. And we got a really good chance in building a championship program and a championship team this year. And, I believe in Coach Key and what he's doing and even the coaches. You know, I just trust and believe in what we're doing, the players in the building. And, you know, I've never really been a part of anything just as great and how well organized and how much people work with each other in the communication aspect of every level, whether it's top or the bottom. With staff or with players.
Why were you guys the right fit? Because I look at Brent Key, he was sort of into a difficult situation. He impressed when he was the interim, then got the job and has really run with it. But when you guys linked up, why was that a match that was a good one for not only him as a coach, but more importantly, you as a quarterback?
I'd say we're like-minded, and then he also kind of reminds me a lot of my dad. You know, he was also an offensive line guy, old school. He wants to run the ball, and also as well as do things the right way. You know, he wants to build a championship program the right way, not toxic or anything like that. Like, he's going to be very open. He wants a player-led team and gives us opportunities to speak up, and he definitely listens and takes those things into account. But other than that, like, I just grown up around people like Coach Key, like, my whole life, like I said, with my dad, and he's going to coach you hard, but he also wants the best for you.
Obviously, high school football was so big for you as a kid growing up around it, and then what you did in high school was very impressive. But when it comes to professional quarterbacks, or maybe even college quarterbacks when you're younger, who were some that really grabbed your attention and that you kind of watched a lot?
I watched Tom Brady a lot just because, I mean, like you were saying earlier, like a winner. You won't always want to be a winner. And he just find ways to win. It doesn't matter what people say about him, what they think. He just goes out, proves them wrong, and execute and takes it one play at a time and just keeps finding ways to stay at the top and continue to win.
You know, you're a tremendous dual threat quarterback. Last year we saw improvement in terms of the turnovers getting cut down. Obviously there were some games where you're basically playing with one shoulder, so it's tough to evaluate. But you do have a strong arm, I know that. Where do you think you're at in the development as a passing quarterback when you take the dual threat out of it?
I think I'm still improving. My track is still increasing. It's not plateaued or anything like that. But like you said, it was about four games either I missed or I couldn't really throw. But to go from double-digit picks like that to four or whether it was two, yeah, my bad, to two picks last year it was, you know, that just shows you how much I worked on my game and my craft and my consistency on the ball placement that off season. And that's going to continue to grow and develop. And, you know, like I said, I'm just continuing to get better each and every year.
And we talk about the injuries. I know they keep on coming up, but there was so much respect when, you know, other guys could have said, I'm not going to play, but you found a different way to win. What is that mentality that you just said, all right, I know I could barely throw in this game, but I'm still going to step up on the field and I'm still going to give it my all to the team. It's easier to say it, but then to actually do it, knowing how many more hits you're going to take, it takes a special person.
Oh, for sure. You know, I'm a team first guy. Whatever the team needs to win or succeed and put them in a really good position to do that, and I'm all for it. It doesn't matter if I have to throw it for 400 or run it for 400 or hand it off. You know, whatever we have to do, like I was saying earlier, just find ways to win, find ways to move the ball, give people the ball, and it just gives our offense more chances to keep scoring. And I mean, the name of the game, if you score more points than the other team, you win. And then the other thing, like I was told as a young age, you know, with being quarterback, there's only one on the field. And you better not let nobody else in your huddle because you might not get it back. And that just goes back – it dates back to however long if you look at it. Like even Tom Brady, you know, he got in the huddle and he never let them have it back.
Yeah.
So,
and replaced the highest quarterback, paid quarterback in the league at the time, in Drew Bledsoe. Yep. After that crazy contract. All right, before we let you run, Haynes King, just a few more. Georgia Tech quarterback this upcoming season, big expectations for the Yellow Jackets. You kick off the season against one of the more popular teams in the country, and that, of course, is Colorado. They won't have Travis Hunter this year. They won't have Shedeur Sanders, but Coach Prime is still there on the sideline. Just how about, from afar, what Coach Prime, you being a student of the game, has been able to do in short order with the Colorado football program?
I mean, Coach Prime, he's done a tremendous job, you know, putting that team together and the amount of talent that they have. And, you know, defensively, I've watched them a little bit on defense already. You know, the way that they, you know, play, they're going to play fast, play physical, rally to the ball, not going to be a lot of mistakes. You know, they're going to try to play mistake-free football and just – you know, play fast and rally to the ball. And, you know, they're going to play physical fast. And, I mean, they're going to be coached really good because they have a lot of great coaches on that staff and great recruiters as well.
I know you don't play UNC, but having Belichick in the conference, what is that like?
I mean, I feel like that'll just increase our notoriety for this conference. You know, the past couple of years, I guess you'd say it's been going down. SEC and Big Ten has been taking that over, but that just, you know, increases and helps the whole conference out.
You know, when we get to the conversation of respect, people are talking about you as a top three quarterback entering the season, the ACC. People are saying positive things about your football program and also your coach, but still, most people are going to say, hey, this is Clemson's conference to lose. Do you feel as if Georgia Tech is getting the proper respect, or do you still feel as if your program's a little bit disrespected?
I mean, at times, you know, you're always going to feel a little disrespected, but I'm not really worried about that too much. You know, we're here right now. We're focusing on this team, what we got to do to get better and get better going into fall camp and getting better through fall camp. That's our main focus right now is fall camp and what we can do and how close we can become as a team for the season.
And then the last thing I'll ask you, you know, tough times build tough people. You look at what happened in your journey, starting at A&M and now where you're at Georgia Tech. What did you really learn from your time with the Aggies at Texas A&M?
I mean, with Jimbo, he's a, you know, football quarterback mastermind. I learned a lot of football from him. I wouldn't, you know, change it for the world because I learned a lot of lessons, a lot of, you know, ways of the game and a lot of information from being there for those 3 years.
Well, Haynes, hey, good luck this upcoming season. We love watching you play last year, and good luck and good health this year, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
There you go. Haynes King had an unbelievable season last year with Georgia Tech, and we'll see what's in store for the Yellow Jackets for this upcoming season. We will take a timeout. When we come on back, we have a little update on Nikola Jokic and his potential contract extension. What does that mean for the future of the Denver Nuggets? We'll get into that on the other side.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.